morning. Welcome to this edition of Down to Brass Tacks. It's Friday, the third day of July 2020. I'm David Ellis with you up until 2 o'clock today, and there is quite a lot to talk about. We are standing by to hear from this 20th special meeting of the Conference of Heads of the Caribbean Community. This is the meeting at which the Prime Minister of Barbados will hand over the chairmanship of CARICOM to Dr. Ralph Gonzalez of St. Vincent and the Grenadines. But there is a major issue on the agenda at the moment, and we are particularly interested in hearing whether at this special meeting there will be any reference to the future of LEAD. You have heard a discussion in the region about the fact that this particular airline is being liquidated. It has had so many challenges over the years since it was formed back in 1956. It's been taken over by different shareholders and it's been into bankruptcy. And now we are at the stage where we have had the Prime Minister of Antigua and Barbuda say that against his objections, the other shareholders have decided that it must go into liquidation. Whatever happens, there is a lot of concern about the future of intra-regional travel, because you know that basically LEAD is the lifeblood of the movement of goods and services and people within this region. One of the things that we have for you, though, is at the beginning, with the future of LEAD so much up in the air, we must tell you that the same thing applies to the future of the people who have been working with this particular airline, including its pilots. We had an interview with the president, Patterson Thompson, the president of LEALPA, which is the Leeward Islands Airlines Pilot Association. And he gave us some insight into what impact this whole situation with LEAD has been having on him and other pilots in the company, as well as other workers in the company. As you know, it would have been severely impacted also by the lockdown or lockdowns that we've had in several CARICOM countries. So here is a bit of what he had to say to us on the impact that the situation is having on their lives.
I have pilots who are retiring next year, three pilots, given LEAD over 30 years. Captain Barnabas Esdil comes to mind, 42 years. Wade MacDonald is actually retiring November, and he's given 33 odd years. He came from the Guyana Defense Force. I have Captain Hanley Sam, also from the Guyana Defense Force, retiring next year, and Captain Cosmos Phillips, retiring Antiguan, retiring next year. We also saw the retirement of two other pilots this year. I have pilots who have just come out of flying school who are lucky enough to get a job in LEAD, and they still have to pay their loans. And the thing about it, Mr. Ellis, is that I have co-pilots, captains. Captains are normally more marketable because people want pilot in command time. They want to see that you have a pilot who has loads of experience. A pilot is a pilot. I can't put a pilot to go and work in a bank. I can't put a pilot to go and become an accountant. So it is a very precise profession. And unless there's another operator with ATRs coming to start in the Caribbean, we have no way. The whole COVID-19, I was talking to another good friend of mine. He was saying that there are 92,000 pilots out there looking for work because of airline closures. So it brings me on to the severance. If there's a lot of pilots and ATR jobs are going to be far and will be reduced as well, that severance, Mr. Ellis, becomes even more important because they will have to retool. Those who are of a certain age, like I have pilots. Actually, LEAD has an aging pilot population. I have pilots, a lot of them are over 55 years old. The chances of them getting jobs are going to be difficult. So that severance comes into place specifically for all the pilots.
What is the situation with the severance as it stands right now?
Well, the situation with the severance is that Liat 974 Limited is a limited liability company. Therefore, whatever assets remain in the company have to be managed, wound up, sold. And certainly those that the Liat's asset base cannot cover the rumored $94 million EC dollars. So I think I heard Prime Minister Gonzalez say that the governments cannot be like a bandit and try and flee their. I think their moral responsibility to try and pay these workers, not only pilots, all workers in there. I'm not here to, I don't know, I am the president of the Pilots Association, but all workers are suffering. Mechanics, engineers, flight attendants, all the staff, the operations staff, call center, everybody, middle management, administrative staff, they're all suffering. And I'm hoping, I'm sincerely hoping that the three present shareholders, I think Dominic is shareholder as well, can get together and find a way to honor the severance. I'm really hoping so, because this is going to be critical for survival in this time.
The Lialpa president went further on the plight of the pilots.
Well, this started for us April 1st, when 76 pilots were dismissed. We think that we have a contractual obligation that Liat should have, if they wanted to avoid it, or wanted to seek some kind of easing of it, they should have come to us. And we have a no-to-pay situation. They believe that they had a right to temporary lay us off according to the labor code. The labor code doesn't speak to temporary law, it speaks to temporary termination. Some people say it's interchangeable. So 76 pilots were sent home, nothing in hand. Contrary to popular belief, we were not being paid. We were not sent home with anything to tie us over. Caribbean Airlines, much different structure. They have the backing of a better economic situation. We're able to pay their pilots. Some American companies, the American governments gave those companies something to carry them. We don't have that facility in the Caribbean. We don't have that economic capacity, granted. So 2 weeks later, on the 20th, 3 weeks later, 20th and 21st of April, another set of pilots went home. And then sometime in the end of May, another set went home. So we've all gone home. You're sitting down here, 3 months have passed. According to the same C-42 in the labor code, we should have received severance. You know the difficulty with the severance now. I think that we should have been able to receive our what we are owed by severance. And this is not only pilots, all the employees in Liat. So I am lucky that I have a wife who is working and still can put on a salary. I have pilots who are husband and wife in Antigua, husband and wife in Barbados. There's the vice president of Lialpa, you can hear him. His wife works in reservations. And she is out of a job. Yutin is out of a job. So that is compounded when you have husband and wife. I have David Jardine, he's a first officer. His wife is a flight attendant. They're out. Sanatha MacDonald, Wade MacDonald, Wade is a training captain. But the pilots who remain employed have not been paid a salary. So Wade and Sanatha are still struggling because she's not working and he's at work but not been paid.
Okay, so that's a portion of what we heard from the president of Lialpa, Patterson Thompson. Let's cross over now to this meeting, which is taking place in Guyana. Just to set the stage, well, it's being done via Zoom, you know. These days, many of these meetings have been held that way. And this is the meeting, a special meeting of the CARICOM heads. And let's try to see if anything is being said that is of specific relevance to Liat or any of the other major issues, because a big challenge facing us all has to do with reopening after COVID. So let's cross over to this meeting now for a short period, and then we'll come back to hear your reactions to this and the other important matters that we have before us here on today's edition of Down to Brass Tacks.
My brother, President Baltasar, asked me in July of 2018, just after 1 month of being the Prime Minister of Barbados, whether we would agree to become chair of CARICOM in the first half of 2020 because of their own constitutional arrangements for an election in Suriname. I didn't know what I was getting into when I said yes. Little did we expect that 2020 would be distinctive, not only in the roundness of its number, but also in the fullness of its challenges. But nevertheless, we are here, we are standing, we are fighting, we are family. It is against this background, therefore, that I will do what I usually do at the end first. I want to thank you, Secretary General, and all of the members of the Secretariat and of the regional institutions. If ever there was a time that we understood the importance of these regional institutions, it is now. Every day, countries across this region can manage who comes in and out of their borders with the assistance of IMPACTS. IMPACTS has made a difference, from Bahamas in the north to Guyana and Suriname in the south, from Barbados in the east to Belize in the west. It has allowed us to help screening and to be able to deal with what none of us ever contemplated would be our reality. Closed borders, not only to the international community, but to each other. Similarly, CARFA, the Caribbean Public Health Agency, an institution that is less than 20 years old, like IMPACTS, but formed to be able to respond to the public health needs of our people. Without CARFA, many countries in the region would not be able to test their own citizens, far less anyone else. We give you thanks, CARFA, for the wonderful role that you have played. Similarly, SEDIMA. SEDIMA, people hear SEDIMA only every hurricane season, and usually after a hurricane has devastated one of our countries. Without the Caribbean Disaster Emergency Management Agency, we would not be able to manage not just disasters like hurricanes, but the reality is that they are our point person with the World Health Organization and with the initiative that I will announce shortly that will allow our people to be able to procure from PPEs to in vitro diagnostics and all of the critical things needed to be able to deal with COVID. Without the Secretariat, my brothers and sisters, we would not be here. So that then I can go on and on, because on the issue of food security, CAFSA will play an even more important role. The important point, my brothers and sisters, is that these regional institutions have stood the test of time, but are also playing an invaluable role for us at a time when individual countries do not have the capacity on their own to meet the demands of their nation's imperatives or the people within the context of CARICOM at this point. I also want to thank the Pan American Health Organization and the World Health Organization, with whom Caribbean, quite frankly, would have been left to the wild, wild west, exposed to the ravages of all of the gale force winds of COVID. But they have stood from their leadership right down through the organizations at our side, ensuring that any deficit that we have, whether with respect to technical expertise on island or capacity to access product at a time when the market failures were literally swirling around the world and affecting larger countries, far less small ones like ourselves, we thank you for that cooperation. There is no doubt, my friend, that we have to be able to also thank the Caribbean Development Bank, who has stood there for many of our countries and who, for example, have been able to ensure that provisions were made so that countries would be able to continue their debt service with respect to their obligations within the Caribbean Development Bank. We thank you all. And this is a reaffirmation for me, and I'm sure for many, as to the vital importance of regional cooperation and regional collaboration. What has 2020 really been about? I could give a technocratic speech, or I could come and talk about what I think Caribbean people expect to hear this morning on a few issues. And I've chosen to do the latter. COVID-19 has literally scarred 2020 in ways that will forever be remembered throughout the annals of history. We did not expect to shut down our borders to ourselves, as a family, to the rest of the world. We are regrettably mourning the death of people who are Caribbean citizens. Thankfully, the numbers were nowhere near what they could otherwise have been. And the truth is that the Caribbean represents one of those regions that has had relative success in the containment of COVID-19 as we speak, and is certainly a low-risk region, with the majority of countries not showing any new positive test results in recent weeks. Have we passed the worst? We do not know. Are we to remain engaged? Absolutely. And to that extent, those regional institutions to which I referred, as well as an initiative which has been brought to our opportunity for us, brought by the World Health Organization Director General, and indeed the countries of Africa, we want to thank them for now agreeing that the Caribbean can have access to an African medical supplies platform that will allow the smallest of our countries to be able to access PPE, in vitro diagnostics, therapeutics when they come, vaccine when it comes, in the same way that the largest of the countries of Africa will be able to do so, and in the same way that we will be able to ensure that what transpired in March, April, and May will not be repeated going forward, because we have access to the suppliers who can supply for us at the scale that we need. And more importantly, a country like St. Kitts with 40,000 people will be able to procure goods at the same price as Nigeria with over 200 million persons as their population base. So that opportunity to be onboarded on the African Medical Supplies Platform gives us a tremendous change for our individual countries, our hospitals, our polyclinics, to be able to fight off the worst ravages of COVID-19. I want to thank President Ramaphosa of South Africa, as well as President Kenyatta, as President of the Chairman of the African, Caribbean, and Pacific States, for agreeing that heads of government of the Caribbean community will be able to have their countries benefit and participate from this platform.
Okay, so there you have it. The ongoing speech coming from the outgoing chairman of CARICOM, Prime Minister Mia Mottley of Barbados. The significant announcement so far coming from her is that we now have access to this African medical facilities platform. So we will monitor this speech during the course of the day, not only this morning rather, and other speeches that are going to be made there to see what else is said that is of some significance to us. But let's come back to you, the people who call this program, the people who listen to this program, because there are several other issues and several other items on the agenda that you want to discuss. I am also told, and I expect to get some clarification on this, people are already complaining about some provision with respect to the changes which have been made to town planning, suggesting that if your place is being renovated, that you will have to vacate the place. And I'm told by a government official that that is not so. So I expect that that person will come during the course of the day and tell us what is going on. Now, I want you to do something. Those of you who have your phones, I want you to go to settings. When you go into settings, go into Google settings and tell me what you see and how you react to what you see. All right? Just call.